This is a Rude Dog Show, part two of Merrill Hodge. You know, it seemed like you had a chip on your shoulder. I mean, you entered training camp, Chuck Knoll sitting there barking at you, saying, hey, what's going on? You know, thought you this guy was smart. I mean, there had to have been at some point whatsoever he was looking at you and ultimately just saying, you know what, he's going to be the guy. And you ultimately end up being that guy. But was there any one person at training camp that just relatively took you under their wing that made such a massive impact on you as a player and as a person to help get you to that next level?
Well, yeah, you know, I roomed with Mike Webster, and Webby was, he was a tremendous inspiration. And he used to joke all the time. He's like, Merrill, you're going to play a long time in this league until they find somebody bigger, faster, and stronger. And they're looking for him right now. I'm like, thanks, Webby. But, you know, listen, and obviously there's some truth, because that's what they do all the time. They always try to look for that. But it's more than bigger, stronger, faster. You know, you got to know how to play football, you know. And there's a lot of things that go into playing football that aren't just about being big, strong, and fast. You know, you got to be smart. You got to be instinctive. You got to be tough. You know, you got to be able to react in an instinctive manner and in situations where things, you know, fall apart. So, and that was some of my strengths. But, you know, probably the thing that, as much as Chuck Knoll always challenged me, and that was his way of coaching, he always wanted to temper the steel, if you will. He wanted to find out what he had in you before he went into the environment with you. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's why he challenged me in different ways by saying things, you know, that would challenge you, make you think at the time, like, gosh, doesn't he recognize I haven't made any mistakes? And, you know, you make one mistake and he acts like, you know, you're doing this all the time. But what he was saying is like, A, yeah, don't make them again. And B, I recognize that. But we still got to be sharp. But he was actually, after our first preseason game against Washington Redskins, they had put me at the up back position on the punt team. And that right there is an indicator of where you stand as far as making the team. Because when they put a roster together as far as special teams go, that's the one group that is just like an offensive defense. This is who they think is going to line up for them in about a month during the regular season. And the personal protector is one of the most important guys aside from the punter. But he's the one that sets everybody, calls out signals, and makes adjustments. And they put me there.
Right.
So we played the Washington Redskins. Our first punt, ironically, I'll never forget this, there was actually a guy named Eric Yarber, who was a punt returner from the University of Idaho that, you know, I've seen him play. We played against him, and he was a wide receiver, but he was a little guy, and he was a jitterbug, man. He could move loudly. We punt the ball to him. And nobody rushed, so as soon as the ball was snapped, I took off. And I was actually the first one down there. And he was so dynamic, lateral, he made me miss. So I miss him. But I get back up, and I start to run him down, and he's going laterally, trying to make everybody miss. Well, I come back from behind, and I tackle him. And I tried to break him in half, I swear. I come, I brought my right arm over his pad, and I tackle him. Anyway, I tackle him, I move on. We play the game, we go back to Latrobe. Next day, we're in, you know, watching film on special teams. We get ready to watch the punt team. We sit down, and the first punt is that punt. And the lights go on, and Chuck Knoll walks in, and he said, grabs their clicker, sits down, turns the lights off, he goes, now, guys, I want you to watch this. And he puts the clicker on me. And my first response is like, oh, my gosh. I think I missed him. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, another one of those. Like, I'm dead. So he shows me, and he shows me at about 20-yard pass line scrimmage. He's like, I want you to know this is the guy who should be the last one down the field, yet he's the first one. Now, I couldn't tell if that was good or bad. I was like, ugh, because I didn't stick around because there was nobody rushing, so I went downfield.
Right.
Well, then I come down to where the punt returner, he makes me miss, but he doesn't stop it there. He lets it go, and then he stops it again, and he puts the laser on a part of the screen where there was nobody. He goes, now watch this. Well, I reappear on the screen because I'm running back after the punt returner, Eric Jarvis, and I make the tackle. Well, then he turns the lights on, and he stands up. And he said, now, guys, let me just say this. If you want to make this football team, that's what I need on every play.
What a compliment.
I was like, oh, my gosh. Okay, you know, I was like, holy cow. I mean, it was like, you know, like everybody afterwards was like, oh, man, you made that team. You made the team. And no, I didn't. Because what he said was, that's how you got to play all the time. It ain't just one time. You got to play like that all the time. And my fear was, I'm still glad that it turned out like that. But I was like, holy cow, now he's just giving the secret out. Now everybody's going to play like that. But what I found out is not everybody does play like that. Everybody will do that on occasion.
Right.
But they won't do it all the time. And that's what Chuck was looking for. Mm-hmm. Who will do it all the time? That's who I was going to keep. And, you know, and I don't realize this until later in life. But, you know, it wasn't like I noticed it.
Right.
But, you know, those were, that right there was probably, you know, one of the most significant things my rookie year that really stuck with me and gave me the confidence at that point that I needed to continue, you know, to play in the league. I knew I was going to make the team, you know. I mean, there were so many other things going on beyond that, but that was significant my rookie year.
Definitely significant. You know, we could always go back and say, you know what, well, we could have done this, we should have done that, and, you know, I wish I had done this, I wish I had done that. You let it all out. I mean, again, so I'll go back to that Broncos game. You had Lewis Lips and Dermoni Dawson, both Lewis down late on the field. You got so close to that touchdown, it was insane. You played behind some pretty veteran guys. Will they end up in the Hall of Fame? I don't know. Will you end up in the Hall of Fame? I don't know. I'd like to think so because you were that diverse. Chuck already seen something in you that you obviously, and we're younger, right? We don't necessarily see that in ourselves, but it takes somebody who's seasoned like Chuck Knoll, who's more of a veteran like Chuck Knoll, who's been in this league for a long time, even at that point, just like Chuck Knoll was, see something you didn't see in yourself, but now you see it years down the road because you had the experience behind it. And I believe based on that dynamic that you had with Coach Knoll that enabled you to be who you are to this day.
Well, Chuck molded a lot of players. I feel so blessed and grateful that my path crossed his. He's the greatest man I've ever been around or associated myself with. And that things he taught me on a football field, the things he taught me, you know, and life lessons and the journey that he was allowed, he's helped me build mold for myself. And that's what made Chuck such a great man. He was not just a great coach and teacher, but he was a great teacher of life's lessons. And, you know, that's why, you know, it didn't matter who you were, he was going to challenge you. And he was going to continue to challenge you. And he had ways to challenge you to see how you would respond. And based on how he prepared you and challenged you, he crafted you for moments that you would be in during a football game. And, you know, I'm so grateful that, you know, at least half of my career I played for him and the things that he taught me, not just as a football player, but as a human being.
You know, a lot of players, I've had the pleasure of interviewing Willie Williams as well, and Willie Williams had a lot of fond things to say about Coach Knoll, that he was a man, he was a man amongst men. He was a coach amongst coaches. He set certain standards for other coaches in the league, even at his time, when he had the ability to go back to look at the things that he had done, even as becoming the Steelers head coach, spoke a lot to who he was as a person and what people can learn from him. And because of the mirror imaging that was going on in the NFL at the time, certainly proved to his benefit, and that's why so many people, even people that were not Steeler players or Steeler coaches, recognize Chuck Knoll as one of the best. I mean, he's the only coach to win 4 titles with the same team, certainly going down in NFL history, if not Steeler history. Moving forward, there was a time where you were known as the factor back. And I know it's been used. I've seen it on your website. Enlighten me. What created the factor back? How did that come to be?
Well, actually, it was one of our meetings when I was early in my career. Dick Hulk, our position coach, he was always talking about, guys, you got to be a factor. You know, in the running game, passing game, because we get no down off. And we got to be good at everything. We can't just be good at running. We got to be good at catching. We got to be good at blocking. You know, and I was like, oh, geez, we're factor backs. We got to be, and it was true. I mean, the running backs are really the only position in the game on offense that have to do it all. And I mean, you can don't even throw the football. I mean, literally, they have to be able to do it all. You have to be a runner. You have to block. You have to run block and pass block. And you have to run routes. You have to catch. So you got to be the equivalent of a wide receiver and the equivalent of a guard, you know, but as nimble as a deer, you know, or as quick as a deer, you know. So, you know, and it, every play, you know, and that's why, that, go back to that was one of my advantages. That's what really helped me make the team, is I could do everything. Even though I may not have been as fast as you wanted at tailback, I could play tailback. And even though I wasn't as big as you wanted maybe at fullback, I could play fullback. So those things, you know, really molded me, but he kept talking. He's like, we got to be a factor, man. We got to be a factor. So I was like, shoot, we're not running backs. We're factor backs, man. That's how it started with me. That's how I termed it, and I've always used it.
Well, it definitely fits you, and I've watched various videos, old YouTube, you know, stuff in the 90s where you were just, it was almost impossible to bring you down. Your footwork, the way you moved, the way you stuttered, you kind of lean your body forward, but your feet went backwards and still able to keep the balance and move forward progressively to gain 3 or 4 yards. I haven't even heard one announcer state, well, he could have ran a little bit further to get 3 more yards. And I thought to myself, didn't you just see what he did? It was on, it was on a punt return.
Well, you know, here's how I've always looked at it. I'll go back to one of my weaknesses. I wasn't good at outrunning anybody. So I might as well learn how to run them over.
Right, you know, exactly.
I wasn't going to run away from people. And you know what? I mean, and listen, then I go back to how the NFL's played. You got to play in the middle of the field, you know, and you're going to have to run with, you got to play with power. You know, I'll go back to the two things I did have. I had quickness and I had power. So I need to use those and not fool myself thinking that I was something I wasn't. I was not a speed demon outrun you. I'm going to have to use my quickness and then probably going to have to break some tackles to get a few more yards. And that's just the way I had to play. And I knew it. I loved playing like that, so it wasn't a problem.
Well, you know, to be honest with you, there were a lot of factors involved as to who you were on the field, but I think more importantly as to how you are as a person now. And moving forward, you exited the Steel City, moved onwards to Chicago, playing for the Bears after the 93 season. But the play type that you had in Pittsburgh was not what you had in Chicago. It was minimalized. You only played 5 games, 6 carries, 13 receptions. Not that any of those were measly by any terms, but it was the amount of. And it's about quality over quantity. So here we are, you're a Bear now. It didn't appear to me, looking at some of the things that you had done there, that the Bears' mindset wasn't to maximize who Merrill Hodge was. They were about executing and getting things done. But getting things done, moving forward, when you played in that fateful Kansas City game on the road, you were involved in a very harsh, not that any concussion is any less harsh, but yours was relatively harsh because after that, you were misdiagnosed, but still having post-concussion symptoms. So here you are, playing again. You played 7 weeks later, sustained an additional one, and it took you out. I mean, took you out. You were out. The lights were out. Nobody was home. And now, obviously, as you know, concussion's a huge topic in the NFL. Changes made in a myriad of ways, from helmet cushion improvement, along with better testing for concussions, and instilling different techniques by coaching staffs throughout the NFL. What do you believe changed there in Chicago from a player standpoint, which may have directly or indirectly led to your lack of production?
Well, Rudy, it was really, you know, they weren't as advanced as the Steelers. And, you know, the whole league now is where it needs to be. You know, and that particular injury, the game is safer because how it's being handled now. You know, what happened to me was one of the stepping stones towards that, and I'm happy that we're there now, you know, and that's the bottom line. I mean, I cut my career short, nearly took my life, but we've corrected those things, and that's what I'm most passionate about.